Hi, this is Eve Miles, and you're listening to the Infamous Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 38, Swing and a Miss. Before we really get into it, just a fair warning, this will be one of our few explicit episodes, mainly because my fury cannot be contained. All right, so on with the show.
I roll my eyes.
Yes, so this is Brian, one half of the Infamous Podcast, along with the other half.
Johnny.
Wait, am I one third or am I one half?
Oh.
I'm kidding. All right.
I figure I just take up a whole room anyway.
So. Yes, with all that personality and vigor. All right, so Johnny, this week we are going to quickly talk about Rogue One, a Star Wars Story trailer, which actually just dropped today on Good Morning America. As always, we're recording on Thursday. And
is that an ABC on show?
I believe it is. Okay. So not that I watch it, but and I waited till it was on YouTube.
Disney owns everything.
They do. And we are finally going to share our thoughts on the Supergirl Flash crossover. Mm-hmm. That's been a long time coming. Spoiler alert, we liked it. We are going to talk about The Walking Dead season finale. Spoiler alert.
Which is where your fury cannot be held back.
Well, I was going to say, spoiler alert, that's where the fury will fly.
Oh, the flurry's going to fly.
The flurry's going to fly. And then we're going to close out by finally reviewing Daredevil season 2. Just some of the highlights. We're not going to get too terribly deep into it.
Because I won't remember everything anymore.
But we are going to finally talk about it. So, kicking off, how's it going today, Johnny?
It's going all right.
All right. So, when you got here, we threw up the Rogue One trailer.
I'd already watched it.
Well, and I watched it on my phone earlier, too. Right. But we finally watched it on the big screen, or bigger screen, I guess the case will be. I got goosebumps, man, watching it. Just the music,
I got goosebumps, but I just, like, when they showed the Death Star, I was like, oh, cool.
Putting the firing plate in the place.
I think the AT-ATs are what I was, like, the most, like, you know, all right.
It was the music that got me, because it was the slow, duh.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Right.
You know, that's what got me, because, like, I just love when they do that, especially to that theme. It looks interesting. It looks really cool. It looks like there's a lot of action. I mean, of course, this was a minute and 30 seconds, so you never know. Batman v Superman looked like it was a lot of action, but that was 2 hours of yawns and sleeping and pinching myself to stay awake, and then a half hour of a fight with yawns and snoring and pinching myself to stay awake.
You really fell asleep?
No, I did start to.
Did you?
Yeah, a couple times. Not at the end, but definitely through the middle.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Rogue One, it's actually called Rogue One, a Star Wars Story, but just we're going to call it Rogue One because that's a big fat mouthful.
I think it's just called a Star Wars Story so the uninitiated know what the hell it is.
Right. And they were originally going to call these Star Wars Anthologies, which I like the a Star Wars Story a little better, to be honest. It is directed by Gareth Edwards, and it was written by Gary Whitta and Chris Weitz. I guess that's how you would say that. It looks interesting. It stars Felicity Jones, who, if you watched Theory of Everything. Sorry, she was Jane Hawking. Mm-hmm. So she was also Felicia Hardy in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
She's in it for like a minute,
so let's not hold that against her. But she looks like she's gonna be a pretty cool character.
She's playing a rebel that is a rebel.
Yeah, she's the rebel of rebels.
Does she, like, in the preview it shows her being escorted through I think it's the Masazi base.
Yeah.
And she's in cuffs, so she's a criminal on top of being a rebel.
Right.
And she's a criminal in the rebels realm and in the Empire's
yeah,
realm.
Yeah, she's a criminal everywhere in the galaxy. She's very Han Solo-esque.
Which would make sense of the rogue.
Mm-hmm. title. Yeah, the Rogue title.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of cool actors in this movie. We get to see a good chunk of Forest Whitaker.
Yeah, you see Forest Whitaker. You see Donnie Yen.
You see Donnie Yen. Alan Tudyk's in the movie.
Diego Luna. Yeah.
Mads Mikkelsen from Hannibal, if you don't know, which I didn't. And then you have Genevieve. Well,
he played the bad guy in Casino Royale.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. And then you have Genevieve O'Reilly as Mon Mothma, which I totally was like, is that Jessica Chastain? Or, you know, I wasn't quite sure.
She's not listed on IMDb yet.
Yeah, she is now.
She is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't
see her listed on there.
Yeah, I mean, she was in one of the Matrix movies, I think.
Who wasn't in a Matrix movie?
She was actually on an episode of The Walking Dead. See, a couple episodes on The Walking
Mads
Dead.
Mads Mikkelsen and Alan Tudyk, you don't see for sure.
Right. So she played Mon Mothma in episode 3.
Oh, okay.
I have her IMDb up right now.
That's cool.
Yeah, she was in The Matrix Reloaded and The Matrix Revolutions. Okay. And then her first credit was actually the Beastmaster TV series in 2001.
She's Australian, though.
She is.
Just because I knew they shot that.
Nope, she's Australia. Irish. She was Dublin, Ireland.
Really?
Yep. So, anyway, the trailer looks cool. There's a lot of really cool little moments there with the Death Star being put together. Like you said, the AT-ATs firing and the running through.
Right.
Looked pretty neat. Donnie Yen, his character is apparently a blind, like, force-sensitive person. So, maybe it's Kanan?
I'm reading the trivia now, sorry.
Oh.
There's a rumor that Cad Bane may show up.
Nice. That would be cool.
That would be kind of cool.
That would be really cool, actually. They should get Hondo to show up, too.
Well, there's rumors that Peter Cushing will be CGI'd into the movie, using stuff from the original Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
What is this? As of this film, 11 actors have appeared in both Star Wars and James Bond.
Cool.
Very Christopher cool. Lee. Shane Rimmer. Oh, yeah. This is like everybody.
Nice.
Alrighty, then.
But, yeah. So, I think, like, just kind of, we both enjoyed it. We're both looking forward to the movie. But we're also giant Star Wars nerds. So, why wouldn't we look forward to the movie? Really?
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. So moving on.
Oh, this is why you didn't see Alan Tudyk in there. Alan Tudyk is supposedly playing a motion capture character rumored to be a droid.
Okay. I can get on board with that.
And we didn't see Vader, but Vader's supposed to be in the movie too.
Yeah. Yeah. The rumors of Vader being in the movie have been around for a while, which I'm all for.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to supervise the Death Star being built.
Yeah. And somebody's got to kick some Rogue One butt.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. So, yeah.
Well, if she's in a TIE fighter uniform at the end of it, she
pulled a Poe Dameron and stole a TIE fighter off of the deck. And
maybe she decides to be part of the Empire by the end of the movie.
That'd be pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So then, Supergirl Flash crossover. It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah.
We had a Flash episode in between. Flash wasn't on this week. It won't be back next week or the week after.
Well, we did the whole review last week, so...
Yeah.
We didn't get to talk about it
last
week.
So, I thought it was good. I really enjoyed it. The tone of it was, like, really fun. The Kara Barry moments were the highlight of the episode.
Right.
Kat, you know, trying to call him the blur, the splat, or whatever.
I wish you would have said the red gold blur. That would have been even better.
The red blue blur. You know, and then at the end where she's like, of course he's the Flash, you know.
Well, right, it's obvious.
Nobody's that good or kind-hearted or whatever she said.
Well, she says that, you know, she goes, obviously the Flash shows up and Barry shows up at the same time. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, duh.
Right.
She still knows that Kara's Supergirl.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Obviously, you know, they pulled the switch and bait, but, you
right,
know.
Right,
She knows.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's why she lets her get away with every.
Oh, yeah. She's like, well, fine. I'll deal with some cold coffee.
I won't fire her today.
Not today.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did have a couple of just minor, like, nitpicky things.
Well, you didn't like Siobhan.
Well, I just don't like that actress.
Right.
When she was in the makeup and stuff, she looked really cool. I did like that.
They did the makeup really well. I was wondering about the white eyes.
Yeah.
But
Livewire was cool again.
I mean,
that's not really a hard character to do CGI anyway, so like
solid villains. Yep. They actually did pick some solid villains
For the two of them to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like my big nitpicky thing though was Barry's suit. It just didn't look like it fit him. It was a little big.
Right, it was a stunt guy suit.
And yeah, so, I mean, you brought that up, that it was probably one of the stunt suits, or it is one of the stunt suits, because it was two pieces, it wasn't one piece.
Right.
And, you know, that kind of, like, took me out of it a little bit, but not enough where it was like, oh, this is horrible, and, you know, it's garbage.
I mean, it wasn't, like, so noticeable that you're like, oh, okay. I was more like the color was off for me.
Yeah, the color was a little off too. But
looking at it, I'm like, that's a stunt suit.
Yeah. And the color was different because part of that is like the filter that they use on Supergirl.
Right.
Like that just changes all the reds anyway.
Well, it looked like it was a suit from the first season.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they changed the suit season. So, you know.
But yeah, watching Jimmy Olsen get jealous was fun.
Yeah.
And you know, not knowing how to deal with it, which I think added like a level to this version of Jimmy Olsen.
I'm really liking, you know, what's his name? Mashad Brooks.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like him too. I liked him on True Blood as Eggs. I thought he was great on that.
Yeah.
You don't remember it or.
Yeah. It's been a while. Yeah. So.
But yeah, no, like I said, it was a fun little episode. Hopefully Supergirl gets picked up like legitimately and it gets a second season and she can interact on the CW shows, because I do think the CW shows have the better look as far as, you know, effects and just the style. And,
right.
You know, Central City looks much more polished than National City, you know? So, yeah. I mean, but it's also a second season show. It's, you know, it's less expectation on the CW. So,
you know, yeah, the thing is like The Flash is their flagship show at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, you know, you among many others have a lot of hate for Arrow right now because of Felicity.
Yeah, it's much Felicity. Legends of
Tomorrow is doing a good job at what they're doing, but it's not strong enough yet to.
This last episode, did you watch? You're not caught up on that, are you?
I watched the last episode.
The most recent.
Where they revealed who Kronos is.
That was the best episode of the series so far.
Well, right. But, I mean, it's one of those things where they said it at WonderCon. They know what they're doing now. Like, the first few episodes, they weren't really sure what the show was going to be. So, it's like now they know what the show's going to be and they have a direction, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I think it's a little unfortunate because Vandal Savage, when you look back at... Like, I don't know if you've rewatched any of the episodes...
Like, of what?
Of Legends?
No.
The guy playing Vandal Savage is actually kind of a weak link.
You think?
Yeah, like going back and like, looking at it again. You know, I liked him when he was on the Flash-Arrow crossover. I thought he was cool.
Yeah.
But seeing him in these different time periods, I think, like you said, they didn't really know what they were doing. So there was some confusion. So hopefully it all like comes together.
I think that next week's episode is going to show you why Rip Hunter has a mad on for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because of the wife and kid thing.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with something that happened in Rip Hunter's past.
Okay.
Because they're going to Kasnia.
Oh.
And it's Kasnia in the future.
Okay.
So he knows that. The thing is, and you know, I read a lot into this because obviously I've been reading comic books for a long enough time.
Right.
He knew enough about where he was, and he told them, like, he's at this place on this date. You know, he's in Kasnia, and it's 21 whatever or whatever.
Right.
And then the preview showed him with a bunch of kids, and I'm like, well, one of those is Rip Hunter.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, that's going to be where it goes. And, I mean, the preview they showed...
See, I don't watch the previews, so the I know we talked about it last week, but I didn't watch it.
It gave you ideas of what's going to happen by the end of the season. It's kind of close to what I talked to you about.
Yeah,
they're going to go to the future to fight Vandal Savage.
Yeah, which would be awesome.
Well, and that's where the Legends idea comes in. Is they will become Legends because
they won't be Legends in their own time. They'll be Legends in the future. But yeah, no, I've enjoyed it, and like obviously Legends of tomorrow.
Right.
But no, I've enjoyed the show. I think Brandon Routh has gotten a chance to really like shine as the less goofy character as he was on Arrow.
Yeah, he's become more
self-assured.
Yeah, it's not as much like, you know, he's trying to show off for somebody. He's just doing what he has to do to survive.
Yeah.
And that, and then, you know, the relationship with him and Hawkgirl, it's like, that's kind of cool because...
It is cool.
The thing is, like, back in the day in the comic books, Adam and Hawkman were, like, a team.
Yeah, because it was always Adam, like, on his shoulder and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And, so even the Alex Ross posters that they did, what, like 10, 15 years ago, he was standing on Hawkman's
shoulder. That they did, they used that idea and just
It's a nice little twist on it,
And that's the same with the Supergirl and Flash. I mean, it's called World's Finest.
Right.
And the race at the end, it's like, yeah, that race is in every Superman Flash comic book.
And that was great. Like, you know, the hey, just, you know, push me.
Just give me a little push because that's all I'm going to need. But like his reaction to, you have aliens?
Yeah.
It's like, you have aliens on your planet? Oh, you're an alien?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it was cool.
He totally geeked out, which was awesome.
Yeah. The Barry that's, you know, the Barry that isn't downtrodden like he is right now on his show.
Because he didn't have,
for just the moment. Barry from a different timeline.
And for the moment, he didn't have the weight of the world on his shoulders. He was somewhere where he could do good and, you know, just kind of getting back around this.
Right.
He could do good and he could help someone. And, you know, he got to show off and, like, you know, be the fastest man alive.
Right.
Even if for, you know, 42 minutes. So.
But yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, it's obviously... in his future, not in his current present, because they haven't tied it into anything.
Well, and I think so the whole are you caught up on The Flash?
Yeah, I watched the episode that was on the day after.
This one should have aired after that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he found, you know, he went back in time and talked to...
Yeah, he sees the whole thing with the piece on Zoom's suit.
Puts it back on. Well,
not Zoom, but...
Reverse Flash.
Yeah, Reverse Flash.
But, you know, and it was in his future.
Sorry, I know it was Professor Zoom.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, using Zoom's name kind of is starting to be a little confusing.
Well, I mean, in the comic book, there was two Zooms, too. There was Professor Zoom, Thawne.
Right.
And then there was Solomon King...
Right.
Who becomes Zoom.
Right.
And it's that's what I think they're, you know, what's going on right now is that character is, you know, the Jay Garrick of Earth One is Zoom.
If that's Jay Garrick, you know, if it's not just Hunter Solomon. So
Hunter Solomon, that's it. Yeah.
Anyway. But anyway, yeah, it was good. If you haven't seen it yet, you should definitely go watch it. They should. And
she's back.
Even with all four. And even, you know, even if it doesn't come back.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean,
let
at that
her
point,
come
you
on,
know,
like
bring
you
her
know.
Into the bring her into the CW universe and just, you know, make it where
National City fell through a portal and landed in Earth Prime or whatever we're calling Barry's Earth One.
I think Earth One works better.
Yeah, but they had their chemistry was just awesome. You know,
they worked together.
You said they were on
Glee
together,
so,
right?
Yeah.
So
I don't like at that point. I had only watched the first season, so I don't. Ever recall seeing either of them.
I was never interested in the show, so I never really watched it. As much as I like to watch people singing and dancing
and
stuff like that.
Anything.
So, I mean, you know, I say that and the Kidbot and I watch every episode of Gallivant multiple times just because of the ridiculous singing and dancing.
Right.
So you would think Glee would have been right up my
alley. That's pretty much what it is. It's like if you cut out all the teen high school drama, then it's just good performances of music because pretty much everybody they had on that show was a good performer.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, so.
Awesome. All right. So, moving on. Are you ready?
Moving on.
Are you ready for me to unleash the fury?
You already did, so I don't, you know.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see how it is.
That's kind of how the episode was.
Oh, okay. So, I didn't watch this until, I think, Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I waited. And you spoiled it for me on Facebook. Because I just happened to log on and I saw your post.
I didn't really spoil anything.
And I'm not saying like you spoiled it, but like
I mean,
when
like
you
people spoiled it. I was just like very disappointed.
But you made a post and it's like I knew what happened because
we already had talked about
essentially
that.
Everything that happened in this fucking episode was our fears come to life.
I didn't have any fear of it, but I was just like, yeah, this is going to happen.
I mean, it was utter like the entire episode was utter bullshit. The let's drive from one place to another Like the first time they stopped when there were eight of the saviors and they were in the, they had them outgunned. They had the big RV, just run them the fuck over and get Maggie where she needs to go. Instead, no, let's drive around and get more scared. And Rick looks like a giant pussy because he's like all like crying and shaking and sweating like a meth addict.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there.
Like that was not Rick Grimes.
No.
Like and you know, like oh God. I just have so much, like there's just so much about this because like I heard from you and then I heard from our buddy Daryl who liked the episode and I wanted to yell at him, but I haven't yet.
I already
because well, and you know what? If you liked the episode, that's fine. You're allowed to like this. And that's not me giving you permission or anything like that. If you genuinely like this, awesome. I wish I could like stuff like this. I
think there's more that didn't like it than did like
right.
it.
Right. I mean, so like at work this week,
yeah.
like it has been an ongoing conversation in our area about how bad this finale was. Especially because leading up to this, it had been so good.
Well, right. It was the whole overhype. The overhype.
Yeah.
Did you watch The Talking Dead?
I did not. I tried, okay. and like I tapped out after 5 minutes.
No. I told you to go to a certain point yeah, and just watch that.
Like, I did, and I watched about 5 minutes of that, and then I wanted to throw my shoe through the television at Chris Hardwick's head.
The last 16 minutes?
Yeah, I couldn't even make it through that.
Oh.
Like, you know.
I just, the whole thing where Scott Gimple, like, pretty much loses his shit.
And I think it's because you told me about it and it's like I was already mad and yeah. frustrated and you know, maybe I'll check it out at some point. Because
comparing this to good season finale cliffhangers was not something that should have been done. I think that Scott Gimple got frustrated and, you know, because he was called out on the show.
Yeah.
And it's like literally, sorry, this is a live show. You will get called out.
And you had said that during the show, the video and the phone systems went down.
The phone yeah. system.
That was not an accident. Yeah. They took that stuff down because they didn't want to hear the negative comments.
Yeah, know? I could like, imagine if you got a live Skype going on.
Oh, yeah.
And like literally somebody would be on there like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Like, what did you do? They would not have been able to beep out what the fuck was that.
I think it's on a little bit of a delay, yeah, so they but, probably would have been able maybe, to. But
they didn't even do questions from the audience.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's very unusual.
And you said, like, even the Twitter feed that was, like, running throughout was just all negative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I think at a certain point.
Did they Chris turn it Hardwick off at some point?
Had to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And he did. And when he did, that's when Scott Gimple kind of just lost it and was like, well, you know, he compared it to Lost season one finale.
Okay, and so, like, real quick, like, before we go to the other things he compared it to. In right. the season one finale, they find the hatch. Okay? They don't blow the hatch
open. No, they blow the hatch open in the season one finale.
Is it in the season?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
is the mid-season where they found it?
Because
I thought they
John,
found...
John finds it, like, after... It's about middle of the season. It's
You're
after
right.
the
okay.
plane fell
I had
off.
My, I had my timeline a little right. skewed there. Okay, so with that hatch, right... Finding the dynamite, getting it there, and blowing it up.
Right.
We lost Boone.
Yeah.
You know, who was actually a legit interesting character, especially when he died. And then you have Locke losing his mind, like trying to solve the puzzle of what's in there. And it wasn't a thing where it's like the cliffhanger there was the definitive end of a storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the definitive start
else.
Of the next.
Yeah.
This. The way they ended it is it didn't end in the middle of a storyline. It ended in the middle of a sentence.
Right.
And that's what people have a problem with.
Right.
And if Scott Gimple can't see that, they need to bring in a new showrunner.
Right. Well, and that's the same with, like, the next one was Star Trek The Next Generation.
Well,
the season three finale yeah. where Picard was kidnapped by the Borg. You know, nobody knew this was coming.
No.
It's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's where I had the complaint with him comparing it was... We didn't know they were going to blow the hatch until that episode.
Until it happened. Because we thought they
were
going to die
taking
the... We
did not know
Picard
was going to be kidnapped by the Borg.
Right.
They had not said anything about it. Even, you know, this is pre-internet, but there was still Star Trek, The Next Generation magazine.
Right.
There was Starlog.
Right.
That did a lot of this
that
reporting.
That was the height of Starlog.
And, I mean, it was the thing where Tasha Yar, when she died in the first season... We knew about it 2 months before it happened.
Right.
Nobody knew that Picard was going to get turned into a Borg.
Right.
Nobody knew that he might be dead.
There was no, he's coming.
Yeah.
He'll be turning. He's assimilating.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. No, it wasn't like every episode.
You know
the
what?
Borg though? Were getting closer and closer.
If they did that now, the previews would be, will he assimilate?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
But still, it would be.
No, you're
the
right.
thing is you had competent writers. I mean, that was.
Which is something rare to say for Star Trek: The Next Generation, you know.
I mean, no. After the,
after I guess the after the first two seasons, you're right. You're
they
right.
Found their
that was unfair. Was
everybody that you know went on to do Battlestar Galactica and the 4400,
right?
And all those, CSI,
Ron Moore when he got on. You're right. I'm sorry.
Ron
that was
Moore,
unfair.
Ira Bear, all those guys when they came on, like pretty much in the third season, that's when it found its stride. And I mean, you know, they had cliffhangers. After that, they had a cliffhanger every year.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where they didn't give any hints that they were going to do anything. It's like Worf left.
Right.
Nobody knew if Worf was going to come back.
No.
I mean, you know.
And then he showed up back in a movie with zero explanation.
Well,
but...
yeah, that's a whole different thing.
But episode.
Don't compare your bad ending to good endings because you're trying to cover your ass.
Right. And the other difference is with the end of that episode. It was part one of a two-part episode. This is part one of a one-part episode that they didn't have the balls to say, we're going to kill this character. Because didn't you say Chandler Riggs even tweeted that they didn't know who's dead?
No, they still don't know who's...
Which is bullshit. And then you have... And then I don't know if you've seen this thing floating around YouTube, but it's just the audio. And they're saying, like... If you listen to it, and I've listened to it because they slowed it down and everything, and they like kind of hyped up the screams at the end.
Like an analyzing of it?
Yeah, and they're saying that you hear Glenn do the
Maggie.
Like and you don't hear it. If you want to hear that, you hear it.
Yeah, that's you know? The problem is because people know what happened in the comic book, they're wanting to hear that. They're not going to do the same thing that the comic book did.
They're not going to kill a main character.
No, somebody
it's
that
Aaron.
I know
they're
going to
kill Aaron.
Elementary school said it's going to be Aaron.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, it'll be him.
Which, if you're reading the comic right now, Aaron is a huge part of what's happening in the book. And that's another character that they're going to bump off that's important later on to the community building.
Right.
You know, for the people who are saying they're done with The Walking Dead... I can understand.
Yeah.
And like, maybe we're not going to talk about this next year. I don't know. You know,
that's
we don't
fine,
have to.
Man.
I mean, we had this conversation this week. We don't have to talk about The Walking Dead. We talked about it this season because the first 7 episodes were really good.
Yeah.
Like, there were a few, like, valleys.
Like, every year on The Walking Dead, there's ups and downs. But they've
but
never
this
had
was
a
more,
finale
right.
that's been that much... Where it's like, what did I just watch?
Like, you know, it was 90 minutes of them driving around, and I kept texting you. Like, I'm at minute 35.
Yeah.
I'm at minute 47.
Right.
And the entire time that I was watching that, I was also watching David on TV Talk on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had my tablet next to me, and I had them on for that, and I had Walking Dead on the TV.
Well, as much as they, when Jesus came on and they did the Benny Hill music, they should do it for that.
Yeah.
For that finale, because it's just them driving around. Getting in the vehicle, getting out of the vehicle.
Getting scared.
I mean, the coolest part of that whole thing was the chain of zombies.
Which was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, yeah, why wouldn't you do that protect your area, you know?
Yeah. Well, they were doing it to stop.
Well, I know
them.
They were doing it to something. But again, why would you stop? Just run through them.
At that point,
you know?
It's like...
It showed a real lack of, like, understanding of, like, well, and well, let me put it this way. So putting Maggie into peril with the pregnancy, right?
That's
it's just a cop out, you know, it didn't have anything to actually do with the story because if they were actually concerned about her, like Glenn is the dad, Glenn would have gotten behind that wheel because he's usually the driver. And just,
but he was already captured.
Right. But I'm just saying, you know, like Rick should have just trucked on through. You know, for all the nonsense that was made about Daryl getting shot, he didn't say a word.
Right.
He didn't have a single line in this episode. He just sat there looking bloody.
Well, and that whole thing where every time it came back from commercial showing, like, you know, light through a door and you could hear shit being said outside.
Right.
And it's like, what's going on here? It's like, are we doing an art film and The Walking Dead? It's like, and then how much more driving we got to do?
The walking poly.
How did they not run out of gas? Like, they have one tank of gas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's an RV. You're running out of gas pretty
and
fast.
They're backing up. They're driving fast. They're, you know, driving off road. But, yeah, it was,
yeah, that
you
was
know,
the one part that, like, you know, The one redeeming thing in this episode was the kingdom. The knights, yeah, the and, knights and of the kingdom.
Like, so, like, I even, like, think, okay, so introducing the knights that way, I guess, by not saying what they are,
yeah,
is cool. But, like, the whole point of introducing the kingdom in the comic is an inside joke that Jesus has that he pulls on Rick.
Yeah.
Because he brings him there. He doesn't tell him anything about it.
Right.
He doesn't tell him about Ezekiel other than his name.
Right.
He never mentions about the tiger. We saw the tiger print.
That part can still happen because obviously, it you know, can, this is just... It can,
but, you know, should it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I, you sure. know, I don't know. More and more, I think once they need they're so they're going to get to the war really fast.
Well, yeah, it's
like they're not going to do any of the build up to get
next
there.
Year.
When the war is done, the show should be over.
They've already said it's going for an eighth season, so
it's you know it should end and like you know
the damage control on the Talking Dead was like awesome to watch them like scrambling. On a, you know, they're trapped on a couch
on
with
TV.
The actor who is like the pivotal character in yeah. the episode.
If he dies, we riot.
And the pivotal actor for like the whole series right. so far are sitting on the couch, and the writer of the comic.
Wait,
book,
was Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
Yeah.
He was on, oh yeah, he was
the
wasn't
special
he? Yeah, I
guest.
Forgot.
Yeah. So the writer of the comic book, who's an executive producer who created this whole universe, and the writer. And showrunner are sitting on the couch scrambling to cover their asses.
Right.
Like, you know, we ended it the way we ended it because there's an important step in the story at the beginning of next year. And it's like, there still could be an important step because you could have shown somebody die and ended it.
Yeah.
You literally could have shown that person get hit. You didn't even have to show several hits, one hit to the head,
mm-hmm.
screen goes black. And then you hear the other hits.
Yeah.
And that would have been fine. We were gypped.
Yeah, we were promised something
yeah.
exciting.
I mean, and, you know, all the actors were like, oh my God. This
yeah, dude. Like Lauren Cohen was like, I threw up.
Yeah.
Well, you threw up because it was so boring.
Yeah. Or she threw up because she was in pain from faking a pregnancy
Maybe.
Issue.
The other thing is like, you know, I thought Jeffrey Dean Morgan was okay.
Yeah,
But
the dude's lost some weight, and like Negan in the comic is a stocky
he's
guy.
He's
a stocky guy
yeah.
like me. I mean,
so
you know,
I really wish they would have got Henry Rollins.
Yeah,
I really, really wish, like, because that's who he's modeled after in the book, and Henry Rollins is terrifying when he gets going. Like, remember on season two of Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah,
like he was legit terrifying.
Right.
Especially what he did to Katie Seagal's character and the way he raised his racist Nazi kids. And
well, it's
you
just
know.
One of those things where it's like, you know, it might be hard to get certain people and other people it's not.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the actor's name. He played Kimmy on Lost, and I thought he would have been good. The one that was in Robin Hood with Russell Crowe. And he was in Mystery Alaska.
Yeah, Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. I thought he would have been like
he's like
a really
he's
good
a little
choice.
Too tall. Yeah. Just I mean, because he's like 6'8" or something crazy like that. He was the Blob in the first Wolverine
yeah.
movie. Yeah. So, no, yeah, I think what we've seen is when Lauren Cohen and Jeffrey Dean Morgan are together on screen, it's just bullshit.
No. Didn't you see the meme where it's like Negan kills Glenn and becomes
Bruce's
Wayne's
dad? Yeah.
So. They changed their name. I'm like,
yeah.
Where's the zombies at in the story then?
Yeah. But
oh wait, Lex Luthor. He was the zombie.
But no, you know, it's just one of these things where, you know, I have been a vocal opponent to this show. You know, I watched it because we talked about it, and I watched it because if I'm going to complain about something, I feel like I should know what I'm talking about.
Right.
I can very easily stop complaining about the show by stopping watching it. It's not, you know,
sure.
It's not that big of a deal. That being said, I was much more excited about the second half of the season than you were. You know, or I was a bigger fan of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Just because I was happy
well,
to see good
that's
storytelling.
Because me being a longer fan of the comic book, it's the thing that I don't want to see the comic book.
Right.
I want to see. That's why I look more forward to the Fear of the Walking Dead show.
Sure.
At this point, is because it's an original story, and it's tied to that universe, but it's like a more original story that
is right.
a little bit more to me. Because so, when they start doing like the whole second half of the season did, where it's very similar to the comic book,
right?
It's like, well, you know, this is what's going to happen, and this is how it's going to happen.
They did a few little twists and things like that.
The twists were so small that it didn't matter.
I said little. Yeah. But with this,
Carol is the biggest twist.
Yeah,
Carol's the biggest twist because Carol is dead in the comic book, and Carol is the person you can use in the story to twist it. The Daryl thing, meh. Whatever.
I mean, Daryl doesn't exist anywhere other than The Walking Dead. Right. And at this point, he's...
The TV series.
Yeah, sorry. At this point, he's a non-factor.
Right.
You know, he's not interesting anymore. I think... Were you talking about this at Gem City with Aaron? That when he's done here, this is pretty much it for him. Like, it's going to be hard for him to get other roles.
Well, the thing is they were running the advertisements during the show of he's doing a show for AMC
mm-hmm.
that is a reality show.
Okay.
Where he's just riding his bike around the country.
Okay.
So it's like, okay. I mean, Chris Hardwick had that was the funniest part in the whole Talking Dead is Chris Hardwick said, wait a minute, Norman Reedus on a bike in a TV show? Is AMC just giving out vibrators? And it's like, he embarrassed Norman Reedus to the point he didn't have anything to say and his face was like 10 shades of red. But it was like, it's like, okay, that was probably the funniest joke I've heard in a long time.
I mean, I like Norman Reedus. Don't get me wrong.
Well, and the show looks cool because it's literally him traveling around and he's, you know, got a couple buddies with him.
So and it's like
doing the thing where it's like, we're going to see what happens in America.
Like the thing Ewan McGregor did, The Long Way Round.
Well, yeah.
And like, The Long Way Down with his buddy Charlie.
What was his name? Oh, God. That played Mater. Larry the Cable Guy.
Right.
He did the thing where he would travel around with a group of, you know, people from Travel Channel.
Okay.
And they would just stop in towns. They'd see stuff, you know, like advertisements on the side of the road. And they'd stop there. Or they had places they knew they were going.
Yeah.
And they would talk about the history of, you know, what was going on. That's kind of what it looks like.
You know who else did that show? Alton Brown from Food Network.
Well, yeah, right.
You know, so, I mean, it's not original.
Everybody's done it, but it's all different.
And but, I mean, it's like, is he riding the bike from Walking Dead?
It looks like one of the bikes. It's not that bike
that was built for him. No, it's not the custom bike.
Right, but it looks like a bike. I think it's his bike.
Okay.
Because he's a
bike guy. Yeah, he's a motorcycle. Yeah, he's a biker. But yeah, we'll wrap this up.
I don't really have any hate for Daryl. I just think that Daryl's story has ran its course.
It ended. So you actually sent this message to me, and it's a quote. And I have it, and it'll be in the show notes. And it's titled "Johnny when discussing the Walking or when discussing Talking Dead."
Oh,
and you said, I think it has a pretty strong following. I just wish they would leave Gimple and Kirkman off there. When Nicotero or some of the other production people are on, it's good. But otherwise, it can be a yawn fest. So, like, you know, they didn't have a lot to add other than confrontation. Right. I think if you have someone like Greg Nicotero on, he's going to talk about, you know, this is what you're going to see with the viscera from the bat.
Well, it's like, you know, because he directs a lot of episodes now, it's like you get an idea of why they shot something the way they shot it. And that's one thing I do have to say about this episode. And, you know, obviously I will buy the Blu-ray when it comes out. I'm going to put it on mute and watch it mute because it's shot beautifully.
It is.
I mean, it's one of the most beautiful episodes that they've shot. It's
visually stunning.
Yeah.
You know, definitely.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, I could put it on mute and just watch it and then stop it when they get to Negan.
Yeah.
Because at this point, it's like the Negan stuff.
Well, no, you got to turn it back on with the Negan stuff because he'll be like, "Well, fuckity fuck 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 fuck."
Oh,
fuck,
because fuck, yeah, they're
you know
gonna,
because ooh,
they're gonna throw that.
That's
in
so important to add.
Yeah. Well, it's the thing where I said that they were not bold enough to do it because it was after 10 o'clock, and they could have thrown in one or two fucks.
It's cable.
Yeah.
Like, they can do whatever they want to do. Yeah. They're just beholden to their sponsors. And, you know, if they don't have sponsors that are going to be like, hey, we have a story we want to tell and it's going to involve some salty language.
Right.
Who doesn't want to sponsor this show right now? Yeah. It's the most popular show on TV.
Well, I mean, even Sons of Anarchy dropped an F-bomb every once in a while.
Yeah. So, and, you know, there was nudity on that show. Right, Kim Coles, is that it?
Kim
Coates. No, Kim Coates was the chick from Fear of the Walking Dead. The,
Oh, yeah, she's her naked.
Yeah. You know, so, but,
Well, you see Charlie Hunnam's butt, like, constantly through that show.
Yeah. That's a drinking game for the game, every time you see his butt drink.
But it's just one of those things where, at this point, they're going into seventh year, and they're just not feeling bold enough like they were
in the
first year.
It's at the point where Heroes was in the first season,
yeah,
where they're just like, you know, people like these characters, so we're afraid to kill them off.
Yeah.
And we're going to...
We're not going to take any risks.
We're not going to let the story run the show anymore.
Right.
We're going to let the... hashtag if Daryl dies, we riot.
Right.
Define what we're gonna do.
If Abraham dies, Chris Hardwick will be mad at everybody, you know, because that's his favorite character.
Right.
And it's like, you know, no, kill Abraham, kill Daryl. You know, I mean, you know, those are my when people keep asking me, and you know, obviously, we can do that. We'll
right.
do that right here. Who do you think got the bat?
Aaron.
Aaron. You think Aaron? My
no,
picks.
No, you know what? No.
I'm, Who are your picks?
Oh, my picks?
Yeah.
Aaron, Sasha, and Maggie.
Okay. And mine are Abraham, Daryl, and Aaron.
I'll tell you why I don't think it's Abraham.
Why?
Because he cowboyed up.
Yeah?
He stood up, and Negan respects power.
Yeah.
You know? And Rick was being a little bitch boy covered right. in his own snot and tears. So... You know, he basically, Negan, so Jeffrey Dean Morgan, essentially mm-hmm. did the speech from the comic, the monologue.
Right, yeah. That's the way it
Woo-hoo,
was written.
You son of a gun, you got me monologuing.
Yeah.
He gets to Carl, right? And he's like this little future serial killer? Not that version of Carl.
Yeah.
You know, like, they should have changed it for the characters that are on the show now and how they are.
Right.
Because it just did not fit. It didn't work. It was, you know, it was a... gross well, misrepresentation
was, you know,
of who the characters
that
are.
You've seen in the whole episode yeah. was, you know, what do we do at the end? Oh, we'll just go back to Kirkman's good writing in the comic
book. And we'll just shoehorn that baby
and
in.
We'll just put it in there.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where it was just, like I said, I'm so, like, and if you guys are listening to this and you can hear it in my voice, I'm so frustrated because...
Are you done with The Walking Dead?
No, I'm not done with The Walking Dead. And, you know, Arrow may be another story, but, well. You know, it's one of these things though where I don't think I'm going to be in a rush to watch it, you know?
Until after I tell you what happens and...
Which is fine, you know, but, will we watch the first episode back? Absolutely. We're not stupid. You know, we understand this is the nature of this genre.
At this point, I'm just going to watch it to see a tiger when it comes back. Because right. I'm like, they're either going to CG an awesome tiger or they're going to get a real tiger.
Which will be
and either
better.
Way, I'm like, yeah. okay. I'm cool with that.
But so just real quick, like to look at where the comic is right now. Like, I don't know if you read.
This week.
So 153 year. Just came out this
yeah,
week.
I haven't read that yet.
And it's building up to something. This was kind of the
whisper war,
the apex of like tension,
right?
And like from here it goes into like a war. And I'll say this: Rick will be dead within 10 issues.
You think
Rick will be dead within 10 issues, okay. And Carl Grimes will step up.
Okay,
I just it's just my thought. It's just looking at where things are going. Rick has to die at some point. I mean, Kirkman's even said he's not. Immortal and he's not
well,
safe
right.
and it's at a point now where it makes a lot of sense in the story to kill him off.
So do you think because the show has all the advertisers paying the money and that they don't feel like they can take risk, but Kirkman still can take risk in the comic books because he knows he has such a built-in audience and the only advertisers he has to worry about there is you know, himself pretty much.
Yeah,
he advertises his book more in the book than
he
anybody
He advertises
does.
The Skybound books.
Well, right.
Skybound and that's his imprint.
Right.
You know, and
I mean,
you guys have listened to us long enough, you know what an imprint is. But you'll see a couple image things in
right.
there. But it's not like a DC book where every fourth page is a full page ad.
Right.
Like even Marvel's gotten away from that.
Right.
But, so what does that tell us? But no, I think he can be braver because he owns it.
Right.
Because it's a comic book. I mean,
but he's willing to take risks.
Right. And the Walking Dead TV show
right.
is watched by millions of people.
It's paying his bill.
The Walking Dead comic book is read by hundreds of people. Like thousands, you know.
Thousands.
I think
response for the finale is mainly the comic book readers.
I think so. And I think we're probably
which some of them are people that watched the show first and then started reading the book and now they've seen that the book is
so much better.
So much better than the show.
I think as fans in this instance, the comic book fans are probably in the minority. Because I think there are people who read it or who saw
even my girlfriend watched it. We watched it and she's like, that's the end. She goes, that's how they ended it. She goes, like, literally it was, I said to her after it ended, I said, this had to be the most boring episode ever.
Yeah.
And she's like, all the driving around. She goes, all that was like a waste.
If I wanted to watch people drive around and talk, I'd watch comedians in cars drinking coffee.
Well, Crackle, my thing about it is why did it need to be an extra half hour?
It didn't.
You could have done that driving and done it in an hour.
You could have cut out three or four of those stops
and
been done in an hour.
Yeah.
And like,
then just
honestly,
said, we're on the Blu-ray, on the DVD and Blu-ray, this episode will be an hour and a half.
Right.
We added some stuff in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like...
We added some driving in.
Well,
so,
we added a wood pile catching on fire while a guy choked off of a bridge, you know?
Yeah, the Morgan part of the story
was all right.
It was okay.
Yeah.
But this is another thing where I think when they veer too far off the comic, they don't have a strong enough writing staff.
Yeah.
To really do something good. You know, and this has been, it's not just this season. I mean, they fired the entire first writing staff at the end of the first season.
Mm-hmm.
The entire staff.
Well, it was all Darabont's people.
But still. I mean, but Darabont was still around, and he didn't leave until the middle of the second season.
He wasn't there.
Well, but I mean, technically.
He was there, and, you know.
And he wrote the first two episodes entirely by himself.
All right.
You know, this is a hard show to write, because it's not, it's an ensemble piece that is set in the backdrop, that the backdrop is the setting of the zombie apocalypse.
Well, right.
At the end of the day, it's a story about family and about survival. And they're not, they were getting it so right. They really were. And you know, I'm very partial to this part of the story, because this, all the way through the war, is my favorite part of the comic.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about this at work the other day, and the one guy's like, well, where should I start reading? And the other guy in the group said issue 100. Everything that happens before that doesn't really matter. Start reading at issue 100.
See, I disagree.
But I'm saying that's what he said. But,
right.
You know, I think you start reading, like, if you start reading post-prison, you know, you get a lot.
Right.
And then you can go back and, like, fill in issues.
But my opinion is
you should read from the beginning. I agree.
Because to get to 100, you have to see where they were, you know, at the beginning.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, they went through a lot of shit before it got to Negan.
And they got separated. They came back together. You know, it is this. And I don't know. I feel like they miss Andrea a lot. And you know, they have bits of Andrea and other characters.
Yeah, they use Andrea and other characters.
But they don't have that cohesive moral center for Rick. You know, the person who, when Rick gets down, that's who picks him up.
Right.
They don't have that because they've neutered Michonne as a character.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I feel like we've talked about this enough.
Whenever you want to stop.
But, all right. So let us know what you guys thought about this. Contact at infamouspodcast.com. Let us know. You know, go to this post on Facebook. And if you love this, let us know. Because, you know, we're not going to hate on you. We're not going to make fun of you. Well, we might make fun of you, but we won't post making fun of you. But, you know, I want to know why. If you like this, I want to know why. And I want to know, like, what you're looking forward to seeing coming out of this giant cliffhanger.
A tiger.
It's great. All right. So, now on to a happier note. The Devil of Hell's Kitchen, Daredevil Season 2.
Yeah.
So, you, when did you finish it?
It's been more than a week ago.
Okay. So, I think you finished it right after we were done recording last week or right before or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. So, what were your overall impressions?
I mean, for everything that everybody was worried about with Stephen DeKnight leaving in that, the vibe was still there.
Well, and those guys worked on the show for a season. And and the guy who's the showrunner is like Stephen DeKnight's like right hand. Right. So, but yeah.
Really enjoyed John Bernthal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously the spoiler, so cool to see Wilson Fisk back.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Well, and the way they did it, you know, obviously it's like, we're not going to go into real big details on this. Wilson Fisk does come back. The way they did it was slick. Like,
it was very, very unexpected. Slick. So
it was like, you know, to slide him in the way they did. And he, I mean, what, two episodes he was in? And it was like, okay, these are probably best of the.
Yeah. He, like, man, Vincent D'Onofrio. Just nailed that.
He's got that character down. I mean,
like, it's like what, like Wilson Fisk in the comics is cool. I always like my Wilson Fisk. My Wilson Fisk is the Spider-Man cartoon,
right?
And that's who he is.
Well, and that's the comic book. I mean,
right. But I'm just saying,
Spider-Man version of Wilson Fisk in the animated series that Fox produced. They took Wilson Fisk directly from the
comic
book.
They did, yeah. I mean, so, but I'm just saying, like, for like the casual fan, like, you know, like, that's where most people have heard of Kingpin.
Right.
You know, in the other Daredevil movie.
Well, now he is Kingpin.
And he is Kingpin. And, yeah. And he adopted that moniker. I think watching him struggle in the prison, watching Fisk struggle to regain control. And how he ultimately did it.
Yeah.
I can't wait for him to get out of prison. I can't wait for them to do Shadowland. You know,
they do Shadowland.
Because he takes over the hand at one point. So it would make sense for this particular story.
The cool thing about this season is that it was the hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but you didn't see the hand that much.
No.
Yeah.
You know, and at first he thought it was the Yakuza or Yakuza,
right?
However you say that. But no, there were a lot of twists and turns. A lot of interesting things. Elektra was great.
Yeah. Elodie Young.
Yeah. It was awesome to have Stick back.
Yeah. Scott Glenn. I mean, Scott Glenn.
Again, talk about someone who nailed a role. Yeah. Scott Glenn.
I mean, if anybody was going to get nominated for like an Emmy from this, or is it an Emmy?
Emmy or Golden Globe, either one.
Yeah, it would be Scott Glenn and, you know, D'Onofrio.
You know, for the guest star, you know, because they have that guest star Emmy. I think you got to put Barenthal up there for supporting actor.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that being said, are you interested in a standalone Punisher series?
No.
I'm on the same page with you.
That if he showed up throughout.
He should be what ties the TV universe together.
I don't think that, but like if he showed up not in, I don't think he should show up in Luke Cage at all.
Okay.
But I think like Iron Fist would be a good one for him to show up in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just because of
if they do Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah.
Then that would be a good one for him to show up in.
Yep.
Daredevil Season 3, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah.
No.
By the end of it, they're pretty much allies, but they don't agree with each other's methods.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a respect that they don't always have for each other in the comics. That it was, you know, I did like that sniper shot, and he was kind of like, you know.
Yeah, but it's the thing where, like, they this year got a lot more of the visuals from the comic book.
They did.
In there. The whole chaining him to the...
the stone, the gravestone.
Yeah, the whole thing with him on the roof, chained up, and it's
to the chimney. Yeah,
yeah, that's directly from one of the Punisher books,
one of the War Journal books, I think. Right?
No, it was like one of the Garth Ennis.
Oh no, you're right. Okay,
I think it was Welcome Back, Frank. That was from, because it's Steve Dillon art. So
yeah, okay, yeah. So if you want to see like some cool like Punisher stuff, like the Garth Ennis stuff, the Greg Rucka stuff, last year or the year before, they did this really cool trial of the Punisher. You know, since he was on trial, it was this two-issue series. It was really cool because of what happens in it. And I'm not going to say anything else other than that.
But yeah, I mean, the whole, like, the courtroom part of it, actually getting to see Foggy as a lawyer.
And I thought Elden Henson killed it this year.
The mentioning of Jessica Jones.
Right. Well, and like the Luke Cage mention.
Yeah.
And speaking of Luke Cage, there's rumors that he's going to be in Civil War.
Well, that'd be cool.
Those came out today. Now,
well, that rumor is because Alfre Woodard is cast
right.
in Civil War, but they haven't confirmed if she's playing the same character.
Which, you know, who knows? It's Marvel, probably. Right. But I'll say this. I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
Because he was a pretty big part of the Civil War comic.
The thing is if they do like a thing like they've done before where it shows a montage of people in different areas.
Right.
Throw Doctor Strange in there. Yeah. Throw Luke Cage. Throw Daredevil. You know, because the Civil War is going to split the universe pretty much.
Right.
There's people that are going to agree and people that are going to disagree.
You heard about Benedict Cumberbatch, what he did the other day?
No.
He went into one of the comic book stores in New York. Oh, yeah,
when they were filming.
Or when he was filming. It came out the other day. But dressed as Doctor Strange.
Well, sure, yeah.
That's awesome. No, Charlie.
I'm sorry, but if I was dressed as a superhero and I'm filming in a city and there's a comic book store, I'm going to that comic book store and I'm coming in as my character.
Right.
And be like, hey, where's my books at?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if you're going to play.
By the eye of Magamoto, give me my books.
It's literally the thing we've discussed about these characters in these shows and these movies. And nothing to do with the comic books, but with the actors who are portraying these characters.
Right.
You can tell who's having fun and who's not.
Yes.
I mean, and the thing is if I was going to play a character,
I'm going to show you
that I'm going to have fun. Like,
Charlie Cox is a great example of that.
Yeah.
He loves this role.
Well, sure.
Like, he's already talking about, I want to be in the Infinity Wars.
Well, right.
Daredevil's perfect for the Avengers.
Well, it totally makes sense that he would be in the Infinity Wars. I mean, you know, somebody's got to be the street level superhero.
And the Defenders. And probably Spider-Man. By that time, we'll see some Defenders stuff.
Well, when they do Daredevil Season 3, I would like to see Spider-Man show up.
It would be nice.
In an episode and just it would be like, nice. You know. Just one episode. And that's all I would ask. Because those characters are tied together, too.
They're friends, and, you know, so...
I mean, we're not going to get Fantastic Four or any of those characters, and it's like, you know, it debilitates that universe, but, I mean, it's the same thing. If you're playing a character, you're going to have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the best example is Chris Evans. Has played two characters and had fun with both of them.
And he was the highlight of the Fantastic Four movies. You know, another one is Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt loves being Star-Lord. Did you see the Omaze thing for where you can do
I haven't seen it yet.
So there's the Omaze thing where you can bid, you know, to visit the set. And he's like in the prop department. And he's like, here, let me show you some props. And like, Chris, you can't show him the props. And then he's like, well, let me tell you who Star-Lord's dad is. And then James Gunn comes out. And he's like, Chris, I've warned you about spoilers. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can have this golf cart. And he like runs it up on the curve and just leaves it. You know, it's just really funny. And it's him being Peter Quill. Right. You know, so.
Well, it's the same as like, I think we talked about it earlier in the year. Melissa Benoist had the Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
Oh, on set.
Yeah,
and
which
it's
was
like,
great.
You know, it's like, that's the interaction you need to have. It's like, you know, Stephen Amell on Facebook all the time interacting with his family.
Yeah, I mean, he was at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And, you know, his partner in the vineyard they have was wearing the Knocking Point hat.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he was on SummerSlam over the... last summer when he actually wrestled, you know, it was the vigilante versus, you
but
know.
But it's just the
know.
Interactiveness that some of these actors give and then others, you know.
Right.
Superman.
Yeah. You know, there was that whole thing where he was like Henry Cavill was walking around and nobody recognized
him. Nobody cared.
Nobody knows who he is.
Well, it's the thing where if you're going to walk around in Times Square, wear the uniform.
Yeah.
Wear the cape.
Well, he had like the shirt on and the glasses, but you know what?
But we
he's
are
just
we
some
had
other
that discussion
guy.
Yeah. Where you know it's like in this day and age, 10 years ago, I wore those shirts all the time.
Sure,
nobody else really wore those shirts.
No,
so people would say, "Oh, cool shirt," you know, "cool Superman shirt" or whatever. And now everybody wears them.
Yeah,
And it's like, if you're walking on Times Square and you're an actor and you're wearing a Superman shirt, nobody's going to notice right. you because it's part of the dress, you know. It's the same as wearing a sports jersey at this point.
Yeah.
You know, most people are like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Unless it's, you know, you're looking at the person because you're a fan of that character or you're a fan of mm-hmm. that sports team. You don't acknowledge it.
Yeah. Or you're a fan of, like, the one other thing that Henry Cavill did. What was he in before Superman?
He's been in a lot of stuff. He was in The Tudors.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. The Count of Monte Cristo is another one.
Oh,
where,
yeah. He was in that one.
He was very young in that, but yeah. yeah. The Tudors is the one that stands out because he was in most of that series.
Okay. Never watched that.
Yeah, it's a decent show. Natalie Dormer's in that show, too.
Okay.
She plays one of the Boleyn sisters. Anne, I think. Okay.
I would just assume that's who she was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's who she played.
It's just my family history, so there's no reason
right. to
mention. But, anywho. Yeah, no, but back to Daredevil. You know, the thing with Karen this season,
just it got a little from the
it got muddled, but I really like the way it came together. And you know, in Daredevil in the comic, there's a point where she's like a radio personality right. and things like that. So like to go with like the Patsy Walker character from Jessica Jones,
yeah,
like maybe we see her as the Angel of the Night. With her own radio show,
well,
with,
like
and to tie those in together,
filled her in as the Ben Urich.
Yeah,
you know, Ben.
Well, and it was great. And it was a great. It was a great. Just nod, like tip of the hat to Ben.
Yeah,
and like working with his old editor, and he came around, and he had the great moment where she was like, "I can take care of myself." Or she said, "If I were Ben, would you have done that? Would you let him go?"
Yeah,
and he said, "Never again."
Yeah,
like I wouldn't right. do it again.
You yeah, know. Because he let Ben, him and Ben had the falling out, and he let him.
And he feels responsible.
Right.
And you know,
well,
we found out
that. Well, it was interesting
that
Ben had a file on her and had left it there. So, like, yeah. you kind of, when you pause it, you can see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things where I don't know if that will get acknowledged later on.
Maybe, who knows.
Because it yeah. involved her brother.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that character because she is a very flawed character. And, you know, kind of Matt keeps asking her what's wrong. And we know what's wrong because mm-hmm. she killed Fisk Man last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things where it carried over.
Yeah, and she hasn't told anyone about
right,
that.
Right, yeah.
So, no, it like all in all, it this was...
Bringing
it was
back Foggy's girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Marcy cool. just yeah. showing up yeah. there was great.
Yeah. She's the one who mentioned Jessica because she's working at that
and,
law firm
and
now.
He is now, too.
Yeah, now
and I love that. Like, Carrie Ann Moss was so awesome. And
oh,
she's
yeah.
like, what about blah, 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 and Nelson? And he's
yeah.
like, stroking his luscious blonde locks.
Yeah.
Like, this sounds interesting. Let me put my hair behind my ears and, you know. But, yeah, like I really, really liked Foggy this season.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike him last season, so like I don't want to like.
Oh, no, that's the thing. Eldon Henson, like everybody else on that show.
Had fun.
Had fun with the character, knew the character, had obviously read some of the comic books.
Yeah.
And played that character the way that he thought he should play it.
Exactly. Like in the show notes, you're going to see I have a comment about, you know, from amazing fight scenes to characters joining the heroes of Hell's Kitchen, both in and out of masks, looking at you, Foggy Nelson. You know, season two was full of twists and turns and punishment.
Right.
And that was, like, in a nutshell, in one sentence, that is Daredevil
so
season.
You have a love for the hallway fight in, what was it, episode two? Love the first season.
Of the first season.
Do you think they upped it?
Twice. I think they upped it with the stairwell fight.
The stairwell fight.
And then they looked at those other two fights,
yeah.
and they said, you know what? Those are just okay. Enter Frank Castle.
Yeah, well, yeah, the hallway
the
prison.
Hallway fight in the
yeah.
prison
yeah.
was one of the most brutal, beautifully shot, awesomely choreographed
oh,
fights
yeah.
ever.
Well, it's the thing where you watch it and you're going, man, they could have kept Shane alive on The Walking Dead, and this is what we would have got.
Well, and so I think, so, you know, I mentioned this before. I think Jon Bernthal has done a few roles here in the last 10 years
yeah.
that have prepared him to be Punisher.
Yeah.
It started with Pacific Rim. Or not Pacific Rim. The wow. Pacific. Sorry.
Yeah.
It started with the HBO miniseries The Pacific, which was the follow-up to Band of Brothers.
Right.
He plays a Marine in Iwo Jima. He's a hard ass. You know. He's a New York boy. You know.
Right.
So baseline there, right? He's in Fury.
Yeah.
World War II, tank driver. The only part of that movie I liked.
Yeah.
Like that is a horrible movie other than John Barenthal.
Yeah.
If he's not in it, I never watch. Like, I turn it off. And then you have Shane.
Yeah.
And you know, the difference between Shane in the comic and the TV series is obviously well documented, and we've talked about
right.
it. But he took a character who cared deeply, as Shane did.
Yeah.
And thought he had a family.
Right.
And metaphorically lost that family. And then did not know how to deal with that. Enter the Punisher. Now he's had these three roles that are basically the primer to be Frank Castle.
Right.
And he put it all together. He was dark and he was brooding and at the same time heroic.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. Saying that, I don't want a Punisher series. I think watching him come up with new ways to kill mobsters for 13 episodes would be really boring.
In the Avengers Infinity War would be like,
yeah.
you know, something that is very possible.
I wish they could have got him to show up in Civil War because there's that great scene between him and Cap. And then there's that great falling out between him and Cap that, like, if you haven't read it, it's on Comixology. Go get it. It's totally worth it. You know, in Civil War in the comic, he added a layer
there's a lot of
the non-registration
history in the comic book that Civil War was able to use where that history isn't in this universe.
Right.
But the idea of him being who he is and coming in at a certain point in Avengers Infinity War, because they will have to use some of these characters.
I think they said there's 68 or 69 characters. Yeah. Not all of them have been introduced yet. So, you know, that is going to include the Defenders.
Well, right, yeah. You know?
And your theory about the Thunderbolts.
Right.
Like, do a Thunderbolts TV show on Netflix.
That would be cool.
That would be awesome. Yeah. He could totally headline that.
Yeah.
But a solo Punisher series... And I think Netflix. I don't think Netflix.
Series with Netflix Punisher will. And Elektra.
Yeah,
because both of them did. They were like, you know, I mean, everybody last year was really good. Everybody that was on the show, and I'm like, you know, for them to lose pretty much the whole cast getting killed off.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, or going to jail Madame or Gal whatever.
And,
yeah,
Nobo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and we thought he was dead.
Oh well, yeah,
and then him showing up was great.
Well, and the explanation, it was like, okay, that. Totally makes sense.
Right.
And then what happens to him at the end, it's like, that paid off.
Yep. Which was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, when Stick steps out of that shadow.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, no, you know, we got, so in the vein of what we talked about earlier about the crapping dead, in Daredevil, we got a tease of Stick in season one.
Yeah.
You know, an appetizer.
A one episode.
We got an appetizer. In season two, we got the meal, and then surprise, hey, here's a free dessert.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what that was.
Yeah.
The scenes where Matt had to fight the hand alone. And
when he didn't know
how to fight them was scary.
Well, yeah.
You know, because it's like, okay, like they could legit, like, and because they had a couple other strong heroes on the show, they could have legitimately hurt Daredevil and put him up on the shelf for a while and like have some of the, like have a lecturer, have Punisher have to take over and fight Matt's fight for him. And they didn't, like, they worked through it. He figured it out.
Right.
When Stick is tied to that chair with the bamboo shafts in between his fingernails and his finger. And he's like, you know, they've got to breathe, Maddie.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
just listen to him.
Right. And so, you know, it was that relationship. I mean, that's another one where the relationship is flawed and it's broken. But at the same time, it's two people who care deeply for each other.
Well, and seeing some of why he went to recruit Matt with the whole Elektra thing.
Right.
It was like, okay.
I love that when he's like, you two know each other?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
How do you know her?
Did they cross paths? It's like, it's all just, you know, the mystic element of the universe pushes people together.
Yeah, and tying the whole Black Sky thing from the first season to this, and there's been other Black Skies.
That she was a Black Sky.
She is a Black Sky, So, and then the way it ended for her, which is, you know, I did see a lot of people complain that her death, spoiler alert, post-credit spoiler alert.
Because Elektra didn't die in the comic book?
That she wasn't killed by Bullseye.
Well, that's because Bullseye wasn't in it.
And I think if you introduce Bullseye just to kill her, that's appeasing fans. Having Nobu do it, and then having Stick, you know, cut him to ribbons.
Right.
Like, that was a definitive moment that then got a equally definitive response.
Right.
And I, for one, loved it. You know, and then we got the payoff with her, with the hand, putting her into the... you know, the blood bank or whatever it's called to resurrect her. And, you know, we'll see that next season or, you know,
I think we'll see season Bullseye four even. Next season.
I think we will.
The whole thing where Fisk says, find out everything you can find out about Matt Murdock. It's like, that's going to be where you're going to get Bullseye because Fisk is going to hire him to take out Murdock.
And Fisk will find, like, you know, I think he's suspecting right now.
Yeah.
And I think, because he knows in the comic, and, you know, it's one of those things where he knows, but, like, it's his secret. Like, because he doesn't really, like, tell. Like, in Kevin Smith's run, you know, Fisk has fallen on hard times, and so he'll sell that information to anybody, and he, you know, he sells it to Mysterio, of all people. But
that would be cool if they
did. It would be great. Like
that. That would be really cool. I don't know if that falls under the Spider-Man rule or not.
I don't know.
You know.
So, I mean, because he's part of the Sinister Six.
Yeah.
Like, and we saw the fishbowl and the Amazing Spider-Man 2 scene. So, who knows? That's where the rights things get murky, and it'd be great if...
Well, since they didn't produce the Sinister Six movie, they can do anything with that now.
Who knows, but...
Right.
I mean, it gets murky as to who owns the film rights or TV rights to which character, so...
Sony got desperate, and Marvel owns part of it now, so...
True. They pulled a Marvel. Anyway.
We'll see.
So, all in, I mean, I watched it twice in the first weekend all the way through.
Yeah.
And I've gone back and I've spot watched episodes here and there.
Sure, yeah.
Looking back, I liked season one, you know? Like, I was over the moon about season one when it was happening.
Well, right.
Looking back, I liked season one. I loved season two.
Okay.
For its flaws, like, it's not a perfect season.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not even a perfect story, but it makes up for things in the end, and it gives us a cohesive beginning to end tale that then opens the door for chapter three.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
I mean, that's all I can ask for.
I think my love for both is equal. You know, both, I liked both more than Jessica Jones, but.
And I liked Jessica Jones. Jessica Jones was good. Yeah. I think it's a different kind of story.
Right.
And it's a different kind of villain and heartache.
Well, yeah. I mean, but it's cool to know. You know, unlike our Batman versus Superman movie.
Right.
It's cool to know that in this universe, Captain America is over there and Daredevil's over there, but they are in the same universe.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I mean, there's enough of crossover hints and mentions that it's like at this point, it's like, this is cool because in my universe, I know that this person exists, but I don't have any contact with that person.
Yeah, if someone would have been like, oh, call Captain America, he'd be like, I don't know how to call Captain America. You know, I don't even know who Captain America... I know Captain America.
I've seen Captain America on TV.
I've heard Captain America on the news.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't see him.
Well, yeah, but it would be cool. Like, that's the thing, is like, that's where the story writing idea would come in, is like, you know, if we have Daredevil in the Avengers movie, the way that he could come in is by identifying somebody who isn't in costume on the street.
Yeah.
And be like, excuse me, you know.
Where's your shield?
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I mean, and they kind of do that with Ant-Man. And we saw it in the preview. And, you know, again, I've stopped watching previews for Civil War a couple months ago.
Yeah.
But you see that preview where... where Ant-Man meets Captain America, right? Like, two people who in this universe probably shouldn't meet,
right?
You know, the way they've set this up. And he's shaking his hand. He's like, I'm still shaking his hand, aren't I? As he looks at Falcon, you know? So yeah, they Marvel understands that.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah, and that's what's cool to me about this universe, the whole Marvel, you know, cinematic universe, because even the Daredevil stuff and the Jessica Jones stuff is part of the CU.
Yeah. Don't mistake us for like slobbering Marvel fanboys, you know. Like,
I have an equal love for all comic book companies. I mean,
yeah, and what we're getting at, and I think what the key takeaway here is Marvel understands their characters,
yeah,
and they have people in position who understand their characters to then translate that to a different medium.
Right.
DC does not.
At this point, The Walking Dead does not either.
Well, and The Walking Dead does not. Yeah. And I think part of this is like, you know, David called us right before we started.
Yeah.
Right? And we were talking a little bit about Outcast there. And I had listened to a podcast that had Kirkman on talking about Outcast and how the series will follow the comic book, but it will expand upon the comic book.
Yeah.
Because he's writing it and he's writing the show and he's writing the comic book concurrently from the beginning. Well,
and the thing is, it is on a...
And it's on...
Pay cable network.
Cinemax.
A pay cable network.
Right, right, right.
So well, I'm just letting people know. They don't have to worry about the commercial success of it. It's just going to be, if it doesn't do what Cinemax wants number-wise, it won't be back. I mean, you know, there's good examples of that. I mean, Spartacus, they didn't expect to be what it was.
No.
And it came back and did, you know, what, 4 seasons? Counting Gods of Arena.
Oh, yeah, 4 seasons. Counting Gods of Arena.
So, I mean, you know, it did its 4 seasons, and they were like, you know, the production people said, we're going to end it.
It ran its course.
Game of Thrones is a good example of that. Mm-hmm. They didn't know that that was going to be what it turned out
to be. I don't think anyone expected Game of Thrones to be what it turned out to be.
And then there's ones where it's like they come on for 1 season and that's it. Yeah. Or 2 seasons. I mean,
like on HBO, I really like this show. It's called Togetherness.
Yeah.
It's the Duplass brothers, Pete from The League, for people who aren't sure who Mark Duplass is. It's this great little drama, like slice of life, like show about family.
Right.
And they just announced it's not coming back for a third season.
Yeah, there was... But,
like, honestly, the first season had its arc. The second season's had its arc. And, like, we've got 2 more episodes to go. But, like, I'm okay with it because they've told a complete story. You know,
there was Magic City that was on Stars. There was Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It lasted 2 seasons. But I think it did its... Did its story.
It's on Netflix. I haven't watched it. It's in my queue.
Yeah.
It's one I want to watch. I watched the whole
first season. It was really well produced. I mean, you know, was done well. And it's just one of those things where I think you don't have enough story to do a lot with that type of stuff sometimes.
Right, right.
And it's like, if it's not a success, like, I think what Stars was surprised with Outlander.
And yeah.
It's for a second season. Yeah. So
like Vikings on History Channel. Like, you know, that's it's 4th season. You don't know what's going to hit.
So Outcast, I mean, for what it is, there's going to be some controversy because it is, you know, involving demons and that. I mean,
it's post-apocalyptic, but demons and stuff.
I don't think it's post-apocalyptic. It's
not? Okay. I haven't read it yet. Yeah, like I'm.
The story, what I know of the story,
because you've been buying it, but I've been
picking it up and I flip through it and look at it, and that the main character was possessed when he was a boy, and then, you know, he was exorcised.
Okay.
But he still has a link because obviously, you know, you're not going to get totally away from that even if you're exorcised.
Yeah.
And he can feel them.
So he's kind of like a Constantine-esque character.
But he doesn't have any magic powers.
No, no, but I'm saying that's why I said ask. He's kind
of an investigator.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of...
He's like a Winchester brother.
It seems like it's the, you know, the ghost investigation shows.
Okay.
And that, kind of that, but the demons and that. And I think, like, you know, and like I said, I haven't read it. I've just flipped through it.
Okay.
I think one of his friends is a cop. So it's like, you know, weird cases. Type thing.
Okay.
He gets involved with.
Okay. Okay.
It's kind of like Chew, where Chew is like, you know, he was a guy who can tell you what happens to people by eating something.
Or there's the one guy who can, like, you know, bite.
iZombie is another.
Yeah. iZombie has been
that. You know, it's the thing that in the past 15 years because of CSI, I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of procedural stuff, but when you put a twist on it, like demons or
zombies.
You know, the guy's got to eat a piece of somebody to, you know, tell you what happened, or you got a zombie who, you know, she eats a piece of a brain and she can, you know, become that person pretty
right,
much.
Right.
It's like the twist is what makes it good.
Yeah. Oh, Outkast has Patrick Fugit from Almost Famous.
Yeah.
As the main character.
Yeah, he was in Gone Girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He plays the deputy to, yep. Yeah. So obviously somebody that works on Fear of the Walking Dead. And.
But, Reggie Cathy's in it as well.
Okay.
So from House of Cards and Van Forstick.
Oh, and there was something I was going to say. Cause,
oh, yeah.
The other night I watched Hunger Games Part 2 of Mockingjay Part 2.
Right.
What's his name that's on House of Cards? Is it Remy?
Oh, Remy, yeah.
John Stewart.
Yeah.
That would be a good John Stewart right there.
It's Tyrese Gibson, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
Have they confirmed that?
I'm pretty sure they did, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know. I think he would be a good John Stewart.
Yeah. He'd be a good Martian Manhunter, too, though.
Well, yeah.
Like, I think Tyrese Gibson would be a better Martian Manhunter than...
I'd be curious if Tyrese is going to be the more non-serious John Stewart. Whereas, you know...
He's going to be the John Stewart that destroys planet.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, there you go, yeah.
That's
what Cosmic Odyssey.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, I hate feeling
Are you an angry like comic book fan this week?
I'm not, because, like,
Are you Rebirth an angry is coming comic up. Book television show fan?
I'm just a disappointed comic book fan.
Yeah.
Like, I tweeted at them and I said, you know, hey, Walking Dead, you know, as great as the second half of S6 has been, I'm tired of being disappointed by the show.
Yeah.
You know, because it does. It lets you down. And that's my big problem with it. And Daredevil. Daredevil did not let you down, you know.
No. Oh, no. Not by any long shot.
The Flash Supergirl episode did not let you down.
Yeah, that was the whole thing, is like the balance of what's produced and how it's produced.
The Rogue One trailer did not let me down, you know? Like, do you see the theme here? Like, I like a lot of stuff.
If Disney screws up, then it's going to really hurt them, and I don't think they're going to screw up.
No.
Because Disney's smart enough to have Kathleen Kennedy there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kathleen Kennedy is... like one of the best producers in Hollywood. I mean, you wouldn't have
Let's Jurassic just say history. Park. You know, she's the best producer in history.
Well, yeah.
You know?
I mean, with her and Frank Marshall, like, produced some of the most awesome movies ever done. And it's like to have her there and making sure that.
As you know, the voice.
The legacy of George Lucas, pretty
like
much.
Kevin Feige, like, wants to be Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah.
You know, like, honestly. Like,
but he's doing a really good job.
And you know what, though? And he's under her tutelage now, like in a way, like,
well, I mean, because
it's all one family and you know, it's like, hey, you know, he has that as a resource now. DC doesn't have that. Like,
well, I mean, just Iger. Sorry.
Yeah.
Bob Iger bringing all these different companies under
mm-hmm.
the wing of Disney has made you go with a little bit more respect to Marvel,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more respect to the Star Wars universe. I mean, the Star Wars universe, you know, besides Clone Wars and Rebels, was Disney.
Right.
But Clone Wars was the only thing holding up
Star Wars. The franchise, yeah.
It was like the only thing holding it up. And, you know, when Disney came in and said, we'll help you out.
Yeah. In both versions of Clone Wars.
Yeah.
The Gene Tartakovsky.
Gene Tartakovsky. Yeah.
And then the Cartoon Network version of Clone Wars. But, it's, you know... If you guys take anything away from this, from listening to Johnny and Mike's conversation tonight, I don't hate any of this stuff.
Oh, no. I
just don't want to be disappointed.
Well, it's the thing that, you know, I complain about the way things are because mm-hmm. I've been there when it's been really good.
Yes.
And I've been there when it's been really bad.
Yes.
I've stuck by these, you know, these books, these companies. You know, there's books I've stuck with through... really bad writing.
I have 2 years of really bad Green Lantern books there.
I know.
You know, and I still buy them.
Right.
And you know what? Like, you can argue, like, well, Brian, you're just enabling them. No. It's my fandom.
Yeah.
It's the characters that, like, I mean, you know, you have an even longer run of Green Lantern than I do.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I have a solid, you know,
20
years of Lantern in my closet.
Yeah, mine's probably, like, 40 years.
Yes. But
I've gone to search for a lot of books that and it's the thing where, you know, and we're running a little long, but I just because of what we've dealt with in the last few weeks, I mean, with Batman versus Superman not performing to my, and I'm not even talking about anybody else, to my standard
right.
of what a superhero movie could yeah. be. For Walking Dead to say, you know what, we're not going to give you the story that we've been hyping up
that we've promised. Year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even like, you know, you didn't make a promise to me, but you hyped it.
Right.
Don't hype something and then, you know, pull the rug out from under me.
They overpromised right. and they underdelivered. Yeah. So
it's just the performance. It's like, you know, if you're having that much of, and you know, this sounds really funny the way I'm going to say it. If you're having this much of performance issues with your stories and mm-hmm. that, then maybe you should get some Viagra, quote unquote, a, you know, solid writing staff.
Bring The Rock in there. The Rock can do any of that yeah. and finish yeah. it and make he's franchise Viagra, right? Yeah. So yeah.
And you know, they're doing that. I mean, The Rock's going to be in Shazam, yeah. so
he's in everything.
Baywatch.
Yeah. That looks funny. I'm sorry, but that looked funny.
Hasselhoff's going to be in it. It's like
And Zac Efron is in it. Oh, yeah. Like, that guy has the best sense of humor about himself. What is
it? It's Hasselhoff. It's The Rock. It's Zac Efron. Alexandra Daddario.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it's like you cast people that are good that are be able to, cuz this movie has to have like the little bit of ha-ha
yeah.
at itself.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, The Rock does that better than anybody
It's going to have
else.
To be like the 21 Jump Street movie.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's what I'm hoping it will be, because it's like, if it's not, then it's going to be like, why are you taking it so seriously?
And Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill absolutely have to show up in that
on
movie.
On the beach.
Just randomly.
Just chilling on the beach.
No, like, not them as cops, just them, like, kind of walking by like they're undercover, you know, yeah. kind of a thing. But, yeah. All right, just to wrap up. You know, I agree with you about Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Like, we have friends that liked it.
And
there's nothing wrong with, again, like, I gave it if a you six. Liked it, you liked it. I gave it a 5, which yeah. I didn't, like, I mean, you know.
I didn't hate it, but I just was like, you know, there
but
was.
But you shouldn't have to say. Issues. You shouldn't have to say the best thing about this movie is I didn't hate it. Because.
Oh, I've told people the best thing about this movie is the last half hour.
And
the
even
fight
that
the last
is,
half but, hour is like yeah. the, my favorite part of the whole movie.
My favorite part of the movie was when I got to leave.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. I mean, I didn't like, I mean,
and
I
you sat through the credits open, there was a stinger at the
end. Oh, God. I was ready to kill someone because I had to pee really bad. All right. on that note.
Take a cup in with you, okay?
I had that cup.
Why didn't
I
you had use that, it?
Because I wanted to put pins in it. I never intended to drink out of that thing when I got
it.
Well,
no.
So I'm like, I'm going to put pens
that's
in this
a, thing. That's a, yeah, that's so. A pen holder cup.
But, all right. So.
You got to take a picture of the cup now and put it on there, because not
I
everybody's going to know what you're talking about.
I don't
about.
Want to. I want them to imagine it with the three sad little pins in there. I have the Lego house for the pins.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Anyway, all right. We're rambling and carrying on. You know, I don't want to be disappointed in this stuff. I'm investing my time and my money into these properties. And you know, do I have to love it? No. And should every episode be Emmy, Oscar-worthy, Golden Globe-worthy?
No.
All I ask is to be entertained. And 2/3 of the shows we talked about today entertained the hell out of me.
Right.
The 1/3 that didn't was the most disappointing, because I felt like the second half of this season was the pinnacle of creativity for this show.
And I think, like, you, along with most of the fans, have felt that. It was the thing where I'm like, well, that's a disappointing end.
It is.
And it's most of the fans that are irate, like you, are irate because it's the idea that you want to be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen.
And, you know, it's not even that it's I know what's coming and it didn't happen. It's I know what's coming and you purposely didn't let it happen.
Well, we did that on purpose because, you know, when Captain Picard was kidnapped by the Borg.
But they shot the
Commander
other half
Riker
of that
said,
episode at the same time.
Yeah.
It was a, they shot a 2-hour thing
right.
all at the same time.
And, oh, not and that Next was Generation.
They didn't? I thought they did it all at once.
No,
but they knew what they were doing.
Well,
you know, they
that's
had
the
story.
Thing. I remember back then when it happened and there was talk that Patrick Stewart might have not came back.
Okay, well.
Because they said that he could have, they could have went with the idea, because they talked about it And, you know, it was the thing where, you know, they knew how the end was happening.
Right.
But they didn't know what they were going to do.
Okay.
And they had talked to Patrick Stewart about, what if we killed you off?
Yeah.
And he was okay with it, but like, he didn't
fine,
want
to go be Professor X. So, yeah. Boo. Well,
no. Anyway.
Not but at no, at the end of the day, this is a show that regularly disappoints me, and
The Walking Dead.
Yeah, and I'm
so
just
next
tired
year
of
we're
that.
Not talking about it at all.
But you know, Daredevil was great. Flash and Supergirl was great. Flash has been
no Walking Dead talk next year.
Flash has been great all season, honestly.
And you're not gonna watch Fear of the Walking Dead, right?
I only watched the first episode.
Well, right. So maybe we'll give a little. Review of the first episode next week.
Maybe what I'll do is not for next week, but over the next week or so.
Yeah,
I'll watch all six episodes.
Yeah, if you want to.
And
I mean,
no, because you know what? Like, I feel like I should give it a shot.
Yeah.
Because the girl that's Lexa on the 100,
right? Yeah,
is on, yeah. And I really like her. Oh, the 100. Okay, I'm just gonna harp on this real quick, and I know you don't watch it, and I know you haven't seen this.
Right.
You want to talk about a show that's 100% fearless?
They kill people.
It's the 100. Right. And it's not. But they don't just randomly kill people. They kill people when their story has expired.
Well,
and the character that they killed this last week,
because
mm-hmm. Obviously we haven't watched the most recent episode that airs to, you know, in a couple hours from when we're recording this. He was all over the media saying he was bullied into going off the show. And, okay. You know, saying that they were, like, purposely cutting storylines and things like this. And it's like, your character ran its arc.
Right.
You know, and they gave him a very honorable and amazing death.
Have they confirmed that it's back for next
season? Yeah,
it's
already picked up for four seasons. So, right. You know, honestly, I think the twists that they've introduced this season add probably one more this next season and then one more.
Yeah.
And then that show's run its course.
Okay.
So kind of like Supernatural, well,
right,
five
yeah.
seasons.
There's the thing where, you know, there's shows that have run their course. And
I feel like the showrunner for the show kind of gets that because yeah. there's definitely it's building to something.
Right.
And it builds to something every year.
There's not the commercial success that there has been with Supernatural. Or there was with Smallville, because Smallville did have commercial
success. It was.
Success.
It was a very successful show. It went on for 10 years.
Horse.
Of course it went.
Right. They're not just going to beat a dead horse to beat a dead horse.
No. So, all right.
Supernatural story. Nah.
All right. On that note, we are the Infamous Podcast. This has been episode 38, Swing and a Miss. Johnny, where can the people find us online?
InfamousPodcast.com. Twitter is Infamous Podcast.
Everything's Infamous Podcast.
Yeah. Just go on there and go to the About Me page.
It's called branding, people.
Yeah, exactly. So just go to the About Us page. You'll find all the links for Brian. You'll find all the links for me. Most of it's Brian Tudor and most of it's Johnny Potter.
Yep, which I got Johnny to brand himself. Yeah. I was very proud of you that day.
I was branded the day I was born, so it's under my hair.
Oh, God. All right. On that note, people, have a great week. We'll be back next week. Oh, just real quick before we pop off. This summer, we're going to try and do some interesting things with some kind of theme months.
Yeah.
And one of those is going to be kind of like 80s cartoons and their 2000-ish revivals.
That'll be later in the summer.
It will be. So if you have any of those that you are interested in us like viewing and talking about, let us know. That one, what is it? Reboot or delete? What one Dan Didio worked on?
That was Reboot.
Reboot. Yeah. We're not reviewing that one because that's garbage. Anyway,
I've never seen it.
I tried watching it; was horrible.
No, like you said, it's going to be 80s and modern versions of some
right.
cartoons.
So we're thinking
Thundercats
like
Thundercats,
He-Man, Voltron.
Voltron. Well, which would be good because of the Amazon. Is it Amazon?
Netflix
series. So, sorry.
Anyway, so we
have
that.
All stream shit now. I'm
they
sorry.
Do. They really, really do. Man of the High Castle. Speaking of streaming for Netflix or Amazon, Man of the High Castle got picked up for another season.
I guess I should watch it then. So, and 11/22/63, we really liked the finale.
Oh, the finale was great. We'll talk about that next week because I want to rewatch that finale. Because I think I missed something because I might have like dozed off a little bit because it was like midnight when I was watching it. But anywho, so guys, have a great week. Remember, you can find us at infamouspodcast.com. Head to iTunes and, five-star reviews and everything helps the show. And make sure you subscribe while you're there. Last words?
No, nothing. I'm just going to grab a bat and beat your head in with it now.
All right, on that note, but, you'll but hear
we
my...
We won't know until next year if I really beat your head in or not.
So in the fall, you'll know if he beat my head this in or not. This is Lucille. That bat looked way too new. Like, it had never been used. Oh. Anyway, all right, I'm going to go because I'm going to start bitching about The Walking Dead
about,
again.
All about sports.
Did they have those anywhere but Cincinnati?
I don't know.
Anyway, all right. We're going to keep rambling on for another hour. So you guys have a great week. We will see you next week. Later.